すでわや。
オンナモーバグバテワスデバヤ。
Ladies and gentlemen, Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, text number 42.
Evam prashnam rishin purvam,
evam prashnam rishin purvam,
avrishnam pidranthike,
avrishnam pidranthike,
nāpruvantra brahmanam putra, tatra karanam ucchyatam.
Similar. Prashnam.
Prashnam.
A question.
A question.
Rishi.
Rishi.
To the sages.
To the sages.
Purvam.
Purvam.
Previously.
Previously.
Avrucham.
Avrucham.
I asked.
I asked.
Pituhu.
Pituhu.
Of my father Ikshvaku Maharaj.
Of my father Ikshvaku Maharaj.
Antike.
Antike.
In front.
In front.
Na abruvan.
Na abruvan.
They did not speak. Brahmanaha.
Brahmanaha.
O Lord Brahma. Putraha.
Putraha.
The sons.
Tatra.
Of that.
Of that.
Karanam.
Karanam.
The reason.
Ucchyatam.
Ucchyatam. Please say.
Please say.
Translation. Once in the past, in the presence of my father, Maharaj Ikshvaku, I placed a similar question before four great sages who were sons of Lord Brahma. But they did not answer my question. Please explain the reason for this.
Here is the purpose by servants of Srila Prabhupada.
According to Srila Chitra Swami, the word Brahmana Putra, the sons of Brahma, refer to the four Kumaras headed by Sanagarishi, Srila Sanagarishi. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted a verse from Tantra Bhagavata stating that the reason the four sons of Lord Brahma, although Mahajans and experts in the science of devotional service, declined to answer King Vimi was that they wanted to demonstrate clearly that even those who are experts in the cultivation of speculative knowledge cannot understand the actual science of pure devotional service. See, the Jivagoswami has further commented that the sages avoided answering the questions from the king because at that time King Nimi was a young boy and therefore not mature enough to understand the answer fully.
ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णाकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते सप्तकाञ्जन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकर्तारुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिदित्यामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे
जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। I was asked to give a class just now, so I don't know what I'm going to speak exactly. Okay, so here is a very interesting statement. That is the same question what was asked in the previous verse, that is in the text number 41, was asked by King Nimi to four Kumaras. So the question was, how to practically engage in the process of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga meaning, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a wide description about Karma Yoga. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, you know, I had a big confusion, you know, are we actually following Karma Yoga or are we following Bhakti Yoga? The reason being, in India, whenever I have heard about Bhagavad Gita, everyone talks, Bhagavad Gita means Karma Yoga. If you ask anyone, you know, what is there in Bhagavad Gita? Okay, it is Karma Yoga, it is Karmanyeva Adhikarate, Na Paleshu Kadarana, that's it. Not the second line. That is, do your duty. Work very hard. So that is the highest principle of Bhagavad Gita. That is being preached by, you know, the politicians to, you know, the subordinates to work hard, to the owners of the factory, to the, you know, laborers to work hard. So everyone uses this term, you know, Karmanyeva Adhikarate, and quotes this verse very nicely. Only the first line. To make sure that everyone, you know, the job is done. So this was sort of my understanding regarding, you know, the initial, you know, what is Bhagavad Gita about. Then came to know, okay, there is something called Bhakti Yoga, and that is the ultimate essence of what we are following. Then when you go through Bhagavad Gita, you know, the third chapter, the fifth chapter, we see, oh, there is description of Karma Yoga. At the same time, if you read the purport, it is equated to Bhakti Yoga. If you see the purport, Prabhu was right, it is elevated to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. So the reason being, ultimate Karma Yoga is Bhakti Yoga itself. Or, by just following Nishkam Karma Yoga, that is, without attachment to the results, one can be elevated to the platform of Bhakti. There is difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga as such. That is, even if you consider Nishkam Karma Yoga, that is, without any desire for the results, even if one performs his own activities and give all the results to Krishna, still it is not Bhakti Yoga. The subtle difference between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is that there is this attachment to a particular kind of work. So when that attachment is given and there is no attachment to the work nor to the results, then one is actually elevated to the platform of Bhakti Yoga. So that is the devotional service. So here, about the devotional service, King Nimi asked to the Navayugendra. And we are seeing in the progression of answers, and it is interesting, they are taking turns in answering all these questions. I think it started with Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhutha, Sipilayana. So we have covered, I think, five. And next one, I think the next verse, what is his name? Avirhotra. So it is just progressing. So everyone is taking turns in answering different questions of King Nimi. And here it is mentioned that King Nimi asked a question about devotional service to four Kumaras. And who are these four Kumaras? They are sons of Lord Brahma. And interesting enough, by their birth, they were Brahman realized. They didn't have any material attachment. They didn't have any bodily conceptions of life at all. Completely free from Brahmabhuta. Completely Brahmabhuta, Prasannatma, na Shochari, Natakamshari. No desire, no lamentation, no hankering. They were completely above the three modes of material nature. So, after creation, Brahma's fourth plan was to create a lot of progenies
in this material world. And Lord Brahma asked and requested his son to perform the process of procreation on his behalf. Because the whole purpose of Lord Brahma for this material creation is first to facilitate the jiva to live and ultimately to transform. So first of all, he has to populate the whole material universe, and for that progenitors are required. Due to this reason, he asked all the four Kumaras, okay, now you produce children, I will empower you. And we can see, you know, some of his sons, I think Daksha, in Daksha they had, you know, so many thousands or millions or, you know, so many progeny. But irrespective of that, Kumaras, they said, no, we don't want to beget children and we don't want to age ourselves. The reason being, it will be a distraction from our spiritual path. So we don't want to grow old, nor do we want to produce any children. So it was a big shock for Lord Brahma. And Brahma became very angry. However, Kumara continued their work. They decided, okay, we won't produce children, we won't get married or we won't produce children, nor do we grow old. So it is very interesting to say that they had so much control over their senses and minds that they, by their sense control, they could remain at the age of five or six. So they had so much of control over their senses, so that they didn't grow old after that. And they continued in the process of speculative knowledge. That is the Brahmavad. That is the ultimate conception is Brahman, or the effulgence emanating from the Supreme Lord. When you preach, especially to Indian community, there is always this control. If you ask, define God, who is God or what is God? At least one person, he will raise his hand, and he will tell, God means light. This is a common answer. Anyone, if you ask, you know, this answer is a common answer. God means light. So we ask, you know, what kind of light? Isn't it halogen light, nitrogen light, you know, tube light, fire light, sunlight? You know, what kind of, you know, God means what kind of light? Please define, so that we can continue the discussion. So this is a common misunderstanding. However, Kumara, they didn't have this kind of misconception. They understood, okay, at least the ultimate truth, according to them, was the impersonal effulgence coming from somewhere. They were not very clear. It was coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they had this mystic potency to travel around the universe. And they had a chance to go to Vaikuntha, the abode of Lord Narayana. And when he reached there, what happened? There were two bodyguards standing there. They didn't allow them to go inside. They said, you know, you are just like, you know, small children. How can you enter where the Supreme Lord is residing? They didn't allow, actually. Jay and Vijay didn't allow for this Kumara. They couldn't actually judge the qualification of four Kumara. Anyway, in that scene, one amazing thing happened. That is, the priest that was carrying the aroma of the tulsi leaves at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord emanated and it started breathing and it went inside the two nostrils of four Kumara. So it is said in Bhagavatam says, Tasya Aravinda Nainasya Pada Aravinda Kinjalpa Mishra Tulsi Magaranda Vayu Antargata Svanivasena Chakara Tesham Sankshobhanam Akshara Jushamapi Chitta Tanuam. That is, it's very interesting. It is not just said, you know, the Supreme Lord, okay, the three chants flowing from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. It says, Tasya Aravinda Nainasya. So first it is glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna, saying Tasya Aravinda Nainasya. That is, the Lord who is lotus eye, and his Pada Aravinda, his lotus feet. And then Kinjalpa, means the toes of his lotus feet. Kinjalpa Tulasi Makaram Mishra. So this toes of his lotus feet is mixed with Tulasi. And the priest just carried the aroma of Tulsi leaves as well as the Lord lotus feet. And then that he just went inside two nostrils of four Kumara. And then what happened? It went inside. And when that breeze went inside, it caused sankshopanam. Sankshopanam means agitation. So for a Brahman realized person, it is impossible practically to have agitation. We are agitated in so many different ways because we are affected by the three modes of material nature. If you just go out on the street, there will be a lot of agitation. If you sit inside a room, still there will be a lot of agitation. Everywhere there is agitation. But for Kumara, it is impossible to have agitation. However, when the breeze went inside their body, they got agitated. And that agitation was agitation of the body and the mind. And that was for a transformation. And that transformation was elevation to the process of devotional service. In other words, the heart actually transformed from the heart, in one sense, hard-heartedness to very soft-heartedness. Because Mayavada, it's not Mayavada, even Brahmavada means they are insensitive. Insensitive to what? They are insensitive to the demands of the Supreme Lord. So being soft means they are being sensitive. They became sensitive to the demands of the Supreme Lord. That is bhakti. In bhakti, one is sensitive to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. But Kumaras were not sensitive at that point. However, with this transformation, their heart transformed and their heart became soft. And the bhakti arose in their heart. So that was the reason. So apparently it looks like, since Kumaras didn't answer the answer to this question, it means it looks like apparently that they weren't devotees before. Or it looks like an incident, I don't know. But looks like the incident happened before. Because if it had happened after their transformation, then they could have answered this question because they are already devotees. And actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cites this example of Kumara to establish the fact that how the process of devotional service, bhakti, is superior to other processes like jnana. Because it's obvious that the bhakti and jnana are superior to bhakti or the material desire, fulfilling the material desires. However, to establish the superiority of bhakti, Mahaprabhu showed this example. That is how even who is Brahman realized is getting attracted to the process of devotional service. And that is the example of four Kumaras. And they are not ordinary personalities. Four Kumaras listed in Mahajans. So four Kumaras are part of Mahajans. Immediately after birth, when they took birth, they were completely on the path of renunciation, in the sense they were completely Brahman realized. So they didn't have any material desires or any bodily conception of life. So they were completely aloof from the material conception of life. So, of course, they had a speculative understanding of the Brahman as it is said here. So they were not qualified to answer this question about the devotion service. Yes.
Does that mean the four Kumaras were more realized than Kumaras himself?
It doesn't strictly. There we have to understand two things. Brahma is a devotee. And at that point, I don't know whether he is a pure devotee or not a pure devotee. I am not 100% sure about that. So we can consider this question, and whereas the Kumaras, they are Brahman realized. So I'll take this question to the level where if devotee who is not pure is great or a Brahman realized, he doesn't have any material desires. So who is great? So again, I'm taking that question to this to answer because I don't know about Brahma, that question whether he was a pure devotee or a Brahman realized person. If he is a pure devotee, obviously a pure devotee is greater than a Brahman realized person. So if we take this question to the other level, that is a devotee who is not pure, he is great, or a Brahman realized person who doesn't have any bodily conception of life, who is great? So the answer, the in one level, the Brahman realized person is more matured in his knowledge than a devotee who is immature in his devotional service. But at the same time, a Brahman realized person, he still does not know what is the ultimate reality. He is only on the level of Brahman. So the reality, the ultimate realization is two more levels. That is Brahmeri, Paramatmeri, Bhagavan, Rishabhade. So there are two more levels of realization. So when one understands how this Brahman is all pervading, it is pervading everywhere. Brahman is pervading the spiritual universe and as well as the material world. It is pervading everywhere. So how that Brahman is all pervading? When one tries to understand and when one tries to realize that, then one comes to the platform of super soul realization. That is, he understands the Brahman is all pervading because super soul is all pervading within the material universe. So that's the only reason the Brahman is all pervading. And ultimately, why the super soul is present? Because it is only a plenary expansion of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, in terms of the highest reality, a Brahmavadi, he does not have the highest understanding. So if he considers the yoga ladder, he is still stuck at practically the second stage of the yoga ladder. From, you know, karma, if one is performing the karma, then jnana. So he is stuck there. He does not know anything further. So in terms of, whereas a devotee, even though he is immature in his devotional service, he is straight at the top of the ladder. Only thing is that he has to mature in his understanding.
The four Kumaras were traveling all over the universe.
Sorry?
The four Kumaras were traveling all over the universe.
All over the universe?
How did they reach to that planet?
Okay. They could basically cross over the material universe. They had that potency, or in other words, they got the mercy by which they could go there. And they could get the association of the Supreme Lord.
So that much elevated personality.
They were great personality, they were very elevated personality.
Yeah. What is the difference between Brahmavad and Mayavad?
The difference between Brahmavad and Mayavad. In Brahmavad, they understand that the ultimate reality is impersonal Brahman. But they don't deny, they don't have sufficient understanding about the Supreme Lord. They don't have sufficient understanding about Krishna. And they don't have the proper understanding that the Brahma Jyoti, to which they are attracted to, is just an emanation from the Supreme Lord. So as such, they don't deny the form of the Lord. They don't know, but they don't deny, nor do they blaspheme the form of the Supreme Lord. Nor name, nor pastime. They have nothing to do with that actually. They don't do anything with that. The example is, one is four Kumaras, they are Brahmavadis. And another is Sukadeva Goswami. Here it is very interesting because Kumaras, they got attracted to the breeze coming from the Supreme Lord's feet. In the same way, Sukadeva Goswami, he explains in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Paritishtadobi Nairgunye Uttama Shloka Leelaya Grihita Cheta Rajashe Aghyatam Etat Adhitavan. That is, even though I was situated beyond the three modes of material nature, still I was completely absorbed. My consciousness was completely absorbed by the Leela, by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And that's how I learned whatever I am speaking to you, O Maharaj Parikshit. So, for them, since they are not committing any offense at the feet of the Supreme Lord, even though they have a misunderstanding, they don't know the highest reality, still they are not offensive to the name, form, qualities or pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Whereas Mayavadis, the term Mayavad means, what is the meaning of Maya means illusion, or you know, that which is not. So according to them, when the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, they consider how the Supreme Absolute Truth can come in this world, first of all. Second, how can he have form, and how can he perform pastimes, and how can he have qualities? So whatever is attributed by name, form, qualities and pastimes, they say it is mode of the material, it is product of the material nature. In other words, they don't say it is a product of rajasic or tamasic guns, it's a mode of passion or ignorance, but they say it is a qualified form of mode of goodness. So in other words, they are offending the lotus feet of Krishna by saying his form, his name, his qualities and his pastimes are Maya, meaning it is just temporary manifestation of the material nature. So in that way, they are offending the Supreme Lord. So Mayavad is offensive, whereas Brahmavad is not offensive, but it is an incomplete understanding of the philosophy. So it is said, Mahaprabhu says this, one shouldn't hear the Mayavad. So Mayavad is exactly opposite to Bhakti. You know, Mayavad is, it's speculation, it is misinterpretation of the scriptures. Brahmavad, in one sense, it is authorized because there are descriptions about the Brahma in different Vedic literatures. But as such, Mayavad is concerned, the Vedic literature is not talking about Mayavad. It is just misinterpretation. Whereas in the Padma Purana, Shankaracharya himself, actually Lord Shiva says to Mother Parvati, how this Mayavad will be established, will be preached in the future. Lord Shiva says, Mayavadam asat shastram prasannam bautham uchyate mayeva vihitam devi kalo brahmana murtinah. I will come in the age of Kali in the form of a Brahman boy. That is Shankaracharya, Brahmana Murtina. And what he does? This Shastra, what I am going to preach is this Asat Shastra. It is completely wrong scripture. Mayavadam Asat Shastram Prasannam Bautam Uchyate. It is covered Buddhist philosophy. Because according to the Buddhist philosophy, the ultimate reality is Nirvana, but finally it is just void, there is nothing. But in terms of Mayavad, the ultimate reality is still nothing, because there is no quality, there is nothing for Brahma. There is no form, there is no quality, there is no activity, nothing. So ultimately it is void, but just a name is given, that is Brahman. So in other words, it is a covered Buddhism. So it is Prasannam Bhavasam Uchyate Mayeva Vihitam Devi. I myself will come Brahman, Kalo Brahmana Murtina. So in the age of Kali, in the form of a Brahman boy. So that was Shankaracharya. So he basically established the Maya philosophy. By this, he did a service in one sense, because he could bring people back from Buddhism to give them faith in Vedic scriptures, because people lost complete faith in Vedic scriptures. So he could give faith in the Vedic scriptures. So, yeah, so that was that. Yes, sir.
In the aspect, what we're doing in the initial stage is more closer to Kali Yoga than.
Pardon? So we don't have to call it Karma Yoga. In one sense, you know, who was telling? There was a Swami Maharaj telling, devotees should look up to Karma Yoga. We usually look down upon Karma Yoga. So he said one time, I remember, you know, one should look up to Karma Yoga. Meaning, Karma Yoga means giving all the results to Krishna. It's not just something, some results. So all the results. So it's a, actually speaking, it's a very high platform. You know, we cannot just disregard. And on the other side, we have to understand, we are actually following Bhakti Yoga. You know, technically one can say, okay, it's Karma Yoga. But we are actually following Karma Yoga, but it is mixed. So more accurate would be to say that we are performing Mishra Bhakti. In other words, it is mishra, it's mixed with karma, that is, you know, the fruity mentality. Fruity mentality meaning expectation for results. We have that. If you are going to move, I have presently. If I am going for books, I have expectation of why nobody is taking or why Lakshmi is not coming, you know, like that. You know, that is expectation for the results. So, that is mishra, karma mishra. And on the other side, we have tendency to speculate. And even if I don't know, I might give some answers. So that is tendency for speculation. So our bhakti is mixed with both karma and jnana. So it is, we want to say we are following bhakti yoga, but it is mixed. That's all. So still we are following bhakti yoga. So that, you know, we are not confused with that. One time, Srila Prabhupada was traveling in India, and he met with, you know, a group of young people. And, you know, they were kind of students of Bhagavad Gita. And they said to Prabhupada, you know, the essence of Bhagavad Gita is Karma Yoga. And we are following Karma Yoga. Srila Prabhupada directly said, Karma Yoga is for fools. Meaning, you know, one should come to the platform of Bhakti. So, yeah. Oh yeah, that is in Pitchanda, Kumara Pitchanda. It's about third or fourth? Third, yeah. It is, yeah. Tasya, you can just search for, you know, Tasya Aravindar Venus, yeah. It's a very nice verse. Oh yeah, that is in second canto. I think second chapter, the first or second chapter, in the beginning of the second canto. Actually, the position of Shukadeva Goswami, actually there is one verse in, I can't remember the verse, but there is one verse in first canto also. There, I think it is Sutta Goswami is describing about Shukadeva Goswami. So there he says, okay, he was in the Brahman platform and then he came to the proper devotional service. So that point is mentioned in the first canto, I think towards the end. And after that, in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami, he starts speaking himself. So he tells his own history of what happened to him. So in the beginning chapters, in the first or second Shukadeva Goswami courses, he says, you know, Parishishwa Vinayaguni, or even though I was situated above the modes of medieval nature, you know, I got attracted to the past and for the Supreme, you know. Oh yeah, that is good, yeah. Parishishwa Gopi Nayaguni. Paritishta Tobi Nairgundin. If you are doing a search, maybe Adhitavan will be a keyword too, easy to search, because Adhitavan is not there. The word Adhitavan. Adhitavan, yeah, that would be the right word to search for. Yeah. Oh yeah, that one. It is in Padma Purana, and it is being quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's in the conversation between Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Yeah. Mayavadam asat shastram. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Congrats, you know, for all of them.